Well, isn't that a powerful song, Here I Am? It fills me, because there's so much truth in that song of the awesomeness of our God and how humbly he put himself in our position. And then we now have to humble ourselves before him. It just fills me up with awe of how powerful those words are and the truths that are in it. Right. As we know, we've been doing... Oh, that's the wrong one. There we go. We've been doing a huge series on Matthew, haven't we? So we're going to look at Mark this morning. Leader's not here. We can rebel. You're all right. He probably won't listen to this, so we're all right. So, well, last time I spoke, he wasn't here either. So there's a message in here. If he does it for the third time... maybe my words are too challenging for our leader and he doesn't want to hear them, maybe. Just saying. Anyway, we're looking at Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21. And it says this: "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as he had authority, and not the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits to obey him.' And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all surrounding regions of Galilee." I don't know about you, but how do you react to the word authority? Because when we hear that word authority, it brings various reactions to it. Some may see it as respect, or maybe power, maybe responsibility that somebody's got. Maybe it's an authority for decision making, even a privilege, or maybe even judgment or permission to do something. Or maybe you react to it in fear, see it as intimidating of somehow. You see, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All authority is given to me." Yeah. Now, it's an amazing claim. But you know, in Romans 13:1, it says, total authority has been given to him. Authority to heal, to forgive, to teach anything to anyone. Authority to bring judgment when he cleansed the temple. Authority to bring believers into the kingdom of heaven. Authority to give eternal life. And even authority to raise the dead, yeah, as he did with Lazarus. Yeah. Jesus quoted no one. Jesus didn't go on Google or YouTube for an opinion. And you can imagine what this did, because it didn't sit well with any Jewish system that they knew. Why? Because he had all authority. Yeah. See, to the world, Jesus didn't present himself as somebody with authority. Listen, he was born in a manger in a smelly stable in the middle of nowhere, where somebody with authority on earth, surely they must be in a palace with king's robes and servants around them. He walked around in ordinary clothes. You see, he didn't talk his authority. Jesus did his authority. He wasn't even a scribe with authority over the Jewish traditions. Jesus' teaching was so radical, it became such a threat to the old worldly traditions. It brings Jesus directly into conflict. And what does it do? It shakes up the worldly order. The only authority he had was supreme confidence in what he did and what he said through his Father's will and truth. Jesus knew his authority because he had such a close relationship with his Father that nothing else would shake it. Power and dominion of his teaching and the example of his deeds was to live as a servant for God. Not to obtain power for himself, but to serve you and me. See, Jesus had authority over all things. Authority in the natural world when he came and calms the storms. And the authority to over the supernatural when he gets rid of demons. And in Mark 1 here this morning, Jesus has just started his ministry. He's just defeated the devil in the wilderness. But he didn't introduce his ways in a subtle way. He showed his authority by teaching it straight away. Because he knew he was up against spiritual warfare from day one. In this passage, we have in the red corner Jesus, God in flesh. In the blue corner, we have the demon and the possessed man. Jesus' authority, with one blow, the demon hits the canvas and the man is healed. He floated like a butterfly and he stung like a bee. And the audience that were around him were left awestruck and said, "Who is this guy? Who is he that does this?" And in today's passage, it gets as crazy as it gets. Can you imagine the media and the social things that are out there? They would have a field day of what they've just witnessed. See, the world tries to deny these things, either being told to question all authority. And you can actually see why. Because those with worldly authority, you know, can be abusing it. We've seen it. They're using it for power and position for themselves rather than others. Or putting authority under a microscope of personal reasoning and submitting to a moral authority to self. Skepticism today has replaced faith in a world where everything has to be reasoned out. If you can't see it, touch it, smell it, surely it doesn't exist. But you know, there's another way of denying Jesus' authority, and they are far more subtle. And you know, even as believers, we could easily fall into this trap. See, our culture generally likes Jesus' authority when it fits into our mold of him, where Jesus is kind and generous, loving, friendly, and forgiving, which, of course, he is all of these things, and praise God for it. But as Jesus fits into our lifestyle, and we call unto him when we have our troubles, but this popular Jesus is a far cry from the biblical Jesus that we should know. Because if all we do is treat Jesus as this, we're actually only accepting half of Jesus. It's a Jesus that's fashioned around our selfish needs, perfectly contoured to our desires. He becomes sanitized, agreeable, safe, and comfortable. This half of Jesus is all the encouragement and the vibes we want. Without the lordship and the authority over our lives and salvation we actually need. See, if we don't realize we've been saved by the undeserved, by unconditional love we have been saved, and grace that should make us fall down and praise on our worship as we've heard this morning. This is the one that did it all for us. This is the Jesus that went to the cross for you and me. But we only seem to worship half of Jesus. The full-on biblical Jesus can truly teach, can truly heal, can truly forgive, recreate, and truly recreate, raise the dead. We need the true authority of Jesus in the kingdom of God on earth today. And that's the Jesus we have if only we accept him fully for who he is. I've lost my place now. That's the wrong one. Sorry. Here we go. See, in this passage of Mark, we see Jesus teach with all authority, heal with authority, and save with authority. As Jesus takes his newly called disciples to the synagogue, he opens up Scripture and begins to teach. He begins to speak words of true life to the audience. Warfare begins as the demon tries to stand up to Jesus. Jesus could have destroyed both man and the demon at the same time. But no, Jesus heals the man of that demon and saves him from it. Now, Jesus could have strutted out of the synagogue, blown his own trumpet, look at me, see him climb the Jewish social ladder. But instead, you know, he slips quietly away. And by the time you're reading the next chapter, he's actually gone and visited Simon and Andrew and had a good talk to them. See, Jesus uses his authority not to lord over everyone, but to serve you and me and humanity. He gave his life as a ransom for many. His fame didn't grow because of a great PR team behind him, but it was because of his undeniable authority that people could see in action. Thank you, Lord. Now, some may fear authority, intimidated by it sometimes, but there's nothing to fear with the authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And what does he do with it? He uses it for our good, not his. The authority given to him as he goes to the cross and dies on our behalf, goes and conquers sin and death for you and me, and brings many into glory. If my salvation depended on me, I would never, ever make it. It's the full-on Jesus, whose authority over all things, that brings my salvation and your salvation about. When we can't seem to get anything better, Jesus has the authority to save ourselves. When we fall into the traps and the distractions and the lies of the enemy, and those demons that seem to control our life, Jesus has the authority to set you free from them. When you feel hopeless and in despair, Jesus has the authority to heal, bring living hope, as we're all called into. And he has the authority to make the restless soul still. The authority to restore and the authority to turn ashes into beauty once again. And when we face our last days here on earth, he has the authority to raise you and me up again into glory with him, where he wants us in the first place. See, the enemy and his demons may try to make a claim on you and me, tempt us to stay where we are. Because when we work under the authority of Jesus, he fears us. Because we have the power to cast out demons. He fears us if we just... Well, he won't fear us if all we do is sit in here on a Sunday morning. He fears us when we're out there giving the full-on Jesus to people who don't know him. Because no one, not even a demon, can stop the full-on Jesus. Because they know how to have to bow down to his authority. because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he's been now elevated into his rightful place. He has no rival. He has no equal. Right. Jesus is Lord and King over all things. Amen. And get this. Now with the power of the Holy Spirit, we too have the same authority. Amen. And it's weird. It's something I struggle sometimes to get my head round. We know this because it's written in John 14:12. Jesus says this, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do. In fact, they will do greater works than me." Amen. Amen. Jesus gives us the authority to heal the sick, to forgive the many, to teach and speak Jesus into people's lives and the truth of who he is. We have the power to bring true life to the world out there. The same authority in heaven and earth that's been given to Jesus, also in Romans 13, has been given to us. Not an authority that builds us up, but an authority that in word and deed go to serve others. Jesus has demonstrated it to us. Amen. Yes, he came to save us, but he came to demonstrate how to build his kingdom here. Not in some future event, but build his kingdom here and now. And we have that authority just like Jesus did. And that blows my mind. A sinner like me can partner with Jesus and has the same authority that he had. In fact, greater things than he had. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we overcomplicate our calling as Christians. When I first gave my life to Jesus, which I was 37 years old, which I know isn't long ago, you know, that's why I love that song, "The Greatest Love I Found." When I came out that water at 37 years old, I had found the greatest love. Close second by when I said "I do" down the Bickerstaff aisle. Just so she knows. and I'm not going home to wear my lunch. But in all seriousness, I found the greatest love when I came out that water. And I can only, there's one word I put on what I am as a Christian, and that's contempt. And contempt, I am at peace. Because no matter what the world and the nonsense thrown at me, come death, come life, I am contempt and at peace. Because I know the authority of Jesus has done it all for me. Amen. And this is not my permanent home. I don't know about you, but this is not my permanent home. I'm going somewhere where it's completely eternal. Amen. Amen. See, our calling as Christians is simply to follow him in faith and obedience. That's it. So all he wants us to do is follow him in faith and obedience. But we seem to throw these add-ons and things we think we must be doing or not doing or should be doing. And Jesus says, no. All I want you is to come to me in faith and obedience. I'll do the rest. See, faith functions to humbly receive what grace offers. I'll say that again. Faith functions to humbly receive what grace offers. Faith always goes beyond reason. And that's why the world struggles with it today. Because faith has been substituted by skepticism. Second Corinthians 5:21 says this. Get hold of this one. It says, "We give our sins to Christ, and he exchanges them for righteousness and forgiveness." Wow. He exchanges our sins for righteousness and forgiveness. We can't earn it. We can't prove ourselves worthy. We can't strive for it. It's truly by faith alone we receive it. And our obedience comes from submitting fully to his authority. And yes, the Christian life isn't usually paved with ease and comfort. Even when I came out the water, yes, I've had struggles. I've done things wrong more times than I can actually remember. But I know Jesus is the greatest love I've ever found. For he forgives me when I truly repent. And that's the contentment I have today. When I get it so wrong, Jesus says, come on, it's all right. We've been there. I've seen it and done it. But I've died on your behalf so you can be forgiven. It's often paid with endurance, isn't it, a Christian life? Persecution and even suffering. As we try and demonstrate our faith to this world, that conviction of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for, Jesus has come to demonstrate and did demonstrate what it takes to follow him in faith and obedience. As he too submitted to the authority of his Father in faith and obedience at the cross. Despite being despised and rejected, Jesus knew where he was going. And we are going to the same place. You know, Jesus, our King, is calling us today to go and build his kingdom. Not with some future event that's going to happen, but build his kingdom here and now, today. Not a kingdom of power and position, which all the world holds dear, but a kingdom full of faith and obedience. A kingdom that shakes this world's concept, and maybe, if we're truthful, even ours. A kingdom of love, forgiveness, humility, and service. To go and make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's name, and to teach them to obey everything he has commanded us to do. Remembering that Jesus is always with us to the end of age. He will never leave or forsake us. And Jesus is with us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power sustains, transforms, and redeems. A power that has no rival and has no equal. A power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's a power that dwells in every believer. If we only allow him to use it through us. We now have the same authority Jesus did to go and shake up this world to what it holds dear, and show them there is a new way of doing things, a better way of doing things. Demonstrate a new kingdom that never fades or dies, a kingdom that is eternal and is open to every believer. And we are qualified to do this through the death and resurrection of Jesus, when he tore that curtain in two and invited us into that holy place. We are now citizens of heaven, dressed in royal robes, children of a living God, rescued from Satan's dominion and this dying worldly kingdom, and he's brought about an eternal living kingdom which we need to show out there. And yes, this may fear us with fear and intimidation. I don't know about you, but this is scary stuff, if we're truthful. Because we need today starting to make a stand for Jesus. Out there on the corridor, and I know I spotted it when I came in, they've got a banner with us, all sort of real thing. But the thing that stood out with me was that the third sentence from the bottom says, we are empowered to serve. We are empowered to serve. And yes, it will get messy, as Tom said last week. Let's not kid ourselves. But Jesus said in John 16:33, with all authority, in this world you will have troubles and persecution. But take heart. Take courage. For Jesus has overcome the world. The devil and his ways are totally defeated. The devil and his ways has no claim on you and me. And when we recognize this and fully worship a full on Jesus, doing it with supreme confidence as he did with his Father, with a true relationship with him, in the knowledge that whatever we face, we have a permanent home with him in heaven. If we are willing, God will make us able.